The two main political parties lose their majority in the European Parliament. But why does it matter to you? Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig in for Anu Anand. Good morning. First, though, it's Merger Monday. Fiat Chrysler this morning made its bid for Renault official. The Italian-American carmaker proposed a nearly $37 billion tie-up with its French rival to create an automaker with sales of 8.7 million vehicles a year. That would put it just behind Volkswagen and Toyota. Professor David Bailey is an expert in the car industry at Aston Business School.
Fiat have been looking for a bigger partner for some time. Increasingly, what's happening in the car industry is big investment in new technologies. So things like electric vehicles, connected cars, autonomous cars are coming at a time when markets are either stagnating or declining, as in China. So big financial pressure on companies. Increasingly, there's a feeling that there needs to be bigger scale. So we're seeing a wave of consolidation and mergers and collaboration. So this is the way I think the industry is going to go. On top of that, I think Renault will be looking to access to the US market, where Chrysler and Jeep is strong, access to premium brands like Maserati and Alfa Romeo. So both sides can see a benefit here.
David Bailey there. Let's do the numbers. Shares of Fiat Chrysler and Renault popped about 13% on that merger news this morning. Stocks in Asia were higher as traders continue to monitor developments around the ongoing U.S.-China trade spat. Meanwhile, markets in the U.S. and the U.K. are closed for Memorial Day and a May Bank holiday. It's been a big weekend in politics this side of the Atlantic. Voters from 28 European Union member states cast their ballots for representatives at the European Parliament. Results show that while populist candidates gained seats, mainstream parties remain the largest groups. So why are these elections such a big deal? Well, members of the European Parliament are the ones who have shaped policies on data protection, single-use plastics, and online shopping rules. It's all legislation that's had an impact all the way around the world. Rosa Balfour is a senior fellow at the German Marshall Fund. She explains how these election results will shape policymaking in the new parliament.
There is a surge in the populist far right, not in the populist left. So they will have greater numbers, but they're very far from forming any majority that can pass through significant policy. They're also divided across several political party groupings, but they can be very influential because they have taken votes away from mainstream parties. So perhaps the first piece of news really is that the centrist parties have lost ground, and they've lost ground to the far right to an extent, but also to the Greens. And that's the other piece of news that comes out of these elections, is that the Greens are doing very well.
Okay, so I want to ask you about that. So Green Party candidates in many of the member states secured more votes than they were expected to. 1 in 3 people under 30 cast their vote for the party. So is climate going to be a key issue for this parliament?
Yes, it will be. They have actually, in Germany, it's become the second largest party. In France, the third largest party. So even in the national context, they will be influential.
Now, there's one rather large elephant in the room, Brexit. An extension to the UK's departure date from the European Union earlier this year meant that Britain had to participate in these elections. And voters are now sending more representatives from the Brexit Party than from the Conservative and Labour parties. So like it was for many other countries, France, Germany, these elections, were they kind of a referendum on current leadership in their nations?
Yes, for sure, these elections are to be interpreted as a sort of proxy for another referendum. So we had the Brexit Party, which actually got a little bit less than was expected. And then if we add all the votes in the other parties, we have quite a strong result for parties that actually would support to remain in the European Union. So although there is this surge in the Brexit Party, the Remainers fared well.
Rosa Balfour. What do some Silicon Valley all-stars like Sheryl Sandberg and Steve Jobs all have in common? They were mentored by former football coach Bill Campbell. He died back in 2016, but former Google boss Eric Schmidt has written about Mr. Campbell's legacy in a new co-authored book called The Trillion Dollar Coach. Mr. Schmidt told us why the coach had such a big impact.
This is why we call him a trillion dollar coach. He is by far the most successful coach in history. It's probably $2 trillion coach. And as an American football coach, he wasn't that successful. But there was something about the skills of coaching, identification of talent, motivation of people that was needed. And remember that these companies are run by impossibly young people. They're certainly incredibly talented, but they don't necessarily know everything, but they all think they do. Whenever you face a problem, Bill would say is, figure out who the knowledgeable people are, people that are the best thinking, and put them in charge of making a recommendation and make that decision and do it in a timely fashion. I think these lessons are time invariant.
He says Bill Campbell's insights remain important even as the pace of business life accelerates.
This generation of startups are under impossibly higher pressure than we were. The amount of time that's required and the number of losses, the shareholder pressure, the investor pressure, everything's a pressure cooker. It's a more crowded world, and because the internet has made time became shorter, right? You have you're always late and there's always a competitor. It's much tougher than it was 2015 or even 10 years ago. And so there's a tendency in that kind of pressure cooker situation to precisely violate Bill's principles, which were the human first, the feelings first, the sort of personal motivation first. And so what we hope we'll do is people will read this book and will actually say, I need to take 10 minutes before I have this big argument over this product to talk to the person about who they are, what they aspire to.
That's former Google chief Eric Schmidt there speaking about the subject of his new book, The Trillion Dollar Coach. Finally, you might be snuggling under the covers for a few more Z's this Memorial Day, but in Tokyo, pillows aren't just a comfortable place to lay your head. On Saturday, 16 teams of fighters flung the feather-stuffed cushions at each other with the goal of becoming Japan's pillow fighting champion. The game combines the agility of dodgeball with the mental strategy of chess. It continues in February at the National Championships. I guess the lesson here is to always sleep with one eye open. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.